Hey everyone, this week we are continuing our series called The Comeback Kid. Because we're so close to Easter, we're talking about some ideas connected to the holiday. So last week we talked about how hope is found in a person, and here we'd say the person is Jesus. And this week we're diving into the topic of love. So let me start by asking you a question. How do you describe love? Songs have described love in a million different ways. Taylor Swift described lost love as something that makes you cry at the gym. Miguel said something about a match and a fuse. Boom. Basically, love is a sure thing. Beyonce described love for her child as something that caused her to be a protector and projector. While we can disagree about whether or not these songs actually describe love, we can all agree that our culture is obsessed with love. We see it in reality TV shows about finding love, Instagram couple influencers who are everyone's couple goals until they're not, and even in funny movies filled with big gestures and happily ever afters. But today we are talking about a different kind of love, a love that we also sometimes struggle to describe or understand. When we're at church, we also talk about love a lot, but it's a different kind of love than in those songs. We talk about how God is love. Christians are supposed to love. Love is what we really need, but let's be real. We who call ourselves followers of Jesus don't always get it right, do we? A 2019 study by a research group called Barna found that 59% of young people in the US stopped going to church because they felt Christians were judgmental and hypocritical. No matter where you live, you've probably experienced some version of this. And even more recently, a study found that non-Christians associate Christians with characteristics like hypocrisy, being judgmental, being self-righteous, and being arrogant. And let's be honest, while these numbers are certainly not good, we can actually see this play out in our everyday lives. Sometimes people who represent Jesus are rude. Sometimes people do mean things and say it's because they are obeying God. Sometimes we may even feel judged or disliked by people who call themselves Christians because they don't agree with us or don't like the things that we've done. And this can make understanding Jesus really confusing. It can also make us wonder what it actually looks like to love others. Or worse, we wonder what Jesus is all about. Is he really all about love? And if so, what does that kind of love look like? Okay, so let's pick up where we left off last time. We talked about how Jesus's friend Lazarus died. Lazarus' sister, Martha, was sad and just devastated, and it seemed like all hope was lost. That's when Jesus did something surprising. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus proved that he was up to something incredible, that we could have hope in him. You would think that miracle would have been big news, right? Martha's family was definitely celebrating. However, the religious leaders were not happy. They were nervous that Jesus was getting too popular. They were even more nervous that his popularity would lead to problems. They thought that if he got too popular, the Roman government would take action, violent action. So they began to plot to kill Jesus. This is when Jesus and his closest friends decided to hang out in a small town in the middle of nowhere. Soon after, it was time to celebrate the Passover, which was a religious ceremony that most Jews attended in Jerusalem, which means that Jesus would need to head back to the city. Now, most people in Jerusalem were wondering if Jesus would even be there. They weren't just wondering if he was going to be there, but if he was going to try to take power from the Roman Empire and begin his reign as king. Jesus did show up, but he did the unthinkable. He showed up riding a donkey. Which is a statement. See, an important person in Jewish history named Zechariah had said that the future king of the Jewish people would do just that. And the people who were there that day knew it. That's why the people who watched him enter the city on a donkey celebrated him. They called him the King of Israel and shouted for him. But there was another unthinkable part of this moment, so don't miss this. Jesus was on a donkey. A baby donkey. It was the humblest of the humble. That was the equivalent of taking a city bus when everybody else had fancy cars. Not only that, but rulers and powerful people would typically ride on a fancy horse. Jesus is king, yes, but Jesus was making a point that he is a humble king. Think about this, okay? He was just celebrated like a king as he entered town. After that, what does he do next? He chooses to have dinner with his friends. The dinner was important though. It was celebrating a religious festival called Passover. They celebrated the Passover and he told them what matters most. He said, "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Now, this may seem kind of simple. After all, there is a chance that you've already heard that Jesus was all about love, even if you haven't been around church all that long. In fact, you may have even been thinking, okay, he said love matters most, but that still doesn't explain what love really looks like. So we're back to the same question. What does it mean to love? One phrase that can help us understand, Jesus said, "Just as I have loved you." So let's back up. What was he talking about? How had he loved them? Earlier in the same chapter from John's story of Jesus, we read, "The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him." Jesus, the King, washed his disciples' feet. There are a few things that I don't want you to miss about this. Like, this is huge. All right, so first, he served someone who would betray him. He knew Judas was going to help the religious leaders arrest him. He knew that eventually this arrest would lead to his death. Even still, Jesus chose to wash Judas's feet too. It is written that Jesus had all of the power and instead he chose humility. He is God and still chose to serve people. And finally, this act of service wasn't the most glamorous experience. The disciples' feet had been in sandals on dirty roads. This was not just a pedicure. It was a job that someone who didn't have a choice was forced to do. But Jesus chose to do it. And it was this act of service that Jesus used to show what love looks like. To love like Jesus is to serve like Jesus. Let's try to think about this in today's terms using a couple of different examples. Let's say that you went over to a neighbor's house or apartment and washed their dishes every day for a week. That's what Jesus did. Or let's say you folded all of your family's laundry for an entire month. That is what Jesus did. Or let's say you went to your best friend's house and walked their dog every day for 10 days straight. That's what Jesus did. But remember, one of Jesus's disciples, Judas, would betray him, and Jesus knew that. So let's say you walked your best friend's dog for 10 days, knowing that he or she was going to turn their back on you and quit being your friend a week later. That is what Jesus did. And let's say that you did all of that out of love. It wasn't about you. You didn't do it to get paid. You didn't do it to get recognition. You didn't do it to hear thank you. You simply did those things because you cared about the other people. That is what Jesus did. So what does this mean for us? I'm not suggesting we all go around washing each other's feet at school. That would definitely get weird. But we can look at Jesus's example of what loving through service looks like. In fact, here are three things that we can do to serve more like Jesus. First, choose to serve our friends and our enemies. Jesus chose to serve Judas, even though he knew he would betray him. Of course, serving our enemies does not mean allowing them to harm us or not having boundaries, but it does mean we serve both people we like and dislike. And second, choose humility. Sometimes service means giving up our own priorities or power for the good of others. That could look like risking your reputation or clout to sit with someone who is alone and could use a friend. It could even mean serving people who have fewer resources than we do, even if it costs us our time or money. And third, choose to serve even when it's not fun. In fact, sometimes it's messy and at the very least, not always something you would want to post about. Sometimes it's easy to serve when there will be a reward or we can brag. It's even easier to serve when it benefits us. Serving like Jesus means serving even when it's not what we want to do. It's this sacrificial love and service that demonstrates to the world what Jesus looks like. The point is that when we serve, we show love the way Jesus did. We show people what Jesus is really all about. When we invite a new student to sit with us, we can help them feel less alone and find new friends. When we advocate for the overlooked in our communities and people without resources, we can help them get the food, water, and shelter that they need. We can help them have a comeback and start fresh. When we serve the people we disagree with or dislike, we demonstrate to the world what God's unconditional love looks like. And it might even help us understand each other a little bit better. So just think about the potential of what we've talked about today. Can you imagine what would happen if Christians were known as the kindest people in your school who helped everyone that they saw? Could you imagine what our communities would look like if our churches were known for how we served people who were hurting or needed help? Could you imagine what would happen if the world knew Christians as the people who were not just about seeking power, but instead were most interested in serving others who feel powerless? So when you head to groups, think about your answer to this question. What is one way you can serve like Jesus this week?